O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Beloveds, I will get to the good news this morning, but I'm afraid that in order for us to do so, we have to start here with the bad news. The bad news that injustice has always thrived on exhaustion. The bad news that in every age, in every political moment, in every country, those who benefit from oppression have turned to the same tactic. If you cannot win an argument on the merits, you can wear people out. This was true here in the US during the Civil Rights Movement, when the defenders of segregation, those who wanted to keep white people and people of color apart, realized that the tides were turning against them, and that more and more people were embracing the cause of racial justice. Those segregationists knew that their arguments could not hold. They could not win on the merits of their ideas, so they turned to exhaustion. If they could not discredit the cause, then perhaps they could wear down the people leading it. Their strategy was to subject civil rights leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to constant arrests on minor trumped-up charges like parading without a permit or loitering. They were relying on a simple, cruel equation: that a leader fighting for his own freedom in a courtroom would be a leader too mentally and physically drained to fight for justice in the world. Injustice thrives on exhaustion. It was true here during the Civil Rights Movement in the US less than 75 years ago, just as it was true in India under British rule more than 100 years ago. There, the Indian people were fighting for the freedom to govern themselves, to be ruled by their own consent and not by a distant empire. But the British Empire, finding its control slipping, realized it could not defend its occupation of India on moral grounds. So they turned to a different weapon: strategic bureaucracy. If they could not crush the people's desire for freedom, they would smother it in paperwork. They would drown the independence movement in a sea of endless committees and hollow commissions, and would promise to carefully study the grievances while behind closed door making no plans of changing course. The goal was to stall and delay for as long as possible, to redirect the passionate energy of protest into an exhausting, soul-crushing maze of government paperwork. Injustice thrives on exhaustion. It is an ancient, weary script. It plays out not only in our history books, but also in our sacred texts. We see that today in Exodus. By the time we arrive to our scripture in Exodus 5 this morning, the Israelites have been in Egypt for several generations. They have built a community there. But a new pharaoh has recently come into power in Egypt, and he sees the growing number of Israelites as a threat. So he forces them into harsh labor. The Israelites, their days are now filled with long, physically taxing hours making bricks and constructing structures for the empire. They labor in the fields under threat to their lives if they do not comply. After the ancient Israelites have labored under such oppressive conditions for quite some time, Aaron and Moses, who have been tasked with speaking for their people, come before the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and they tell him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." It is a small request in comparison to all they've endured. A small request for 3 short days in community with one another. A request to rest, even if only so briefly. A request for some time to worship God. It is a small request, yes, but not one that Pharaoh takes too kindly. He refuses. And then he accuses Moses and Aaron of distracting the people from their work. And then, to make sure that no one asks again, he makes their work even harder. He orders the overseers to stop providing straw for the bricks they make, but to keep the quota, the number of bricks, the same. Now the people must scour the lands for straw and still produce the same amount. And when they cannot keep up in the very system designed for them not to keep up, the Pharaoh calls the people lazy and says that the only reason they asked to worship God in the first place is because they wanted to avoid hard work. So then the Pharaoh says to them, let even heavier work be laid upon them. Then they will pay attention to that work and not to these deceptive words of Moses and Aaron. If they are focused on meeting the demands of labor, then they will not have the time or the energy to listen to Moses and Aaron. If they are focused on meeting increasingly difficult, impossible to attain metrics of productivity, then the people will not listen to Moses and Aaron, who are clear. God is calling the people to rest and retreat. And there it is. The same ancient, weary script written plain for us to see. Increase their exhaustion so they cannot listen. Keep them so busy that they cannot hear. Bury them in labor so completely that they no longer have the time or the space or the strength to pay attention, preventing the people from having time to hear a different story about who they are and whose they are. This is the same cruel equation we have seen throughout history. A segregationist system knew that a leader fighting for his own freedom in a courtroom would have less time to fight for justice in the world. A colonial empire knew that a people lost in a bureaucratic maze would have less time to focus their collective power in the streets. And a pharaoh of ancient Egypt knew that a people crushed by impossible labor would have less time to listen to the voice of God, calling them to sacred rest and festival worship. The pattern is undeniable. Injustice thrives on exhaustion because a tired body is one that has a harder time keeping marching. A tired mind has a harder time staying focused. A tired spirit has a harder time holding on to hope. It is a strategy designed to make those who are fighting for justice too weary to listen, too drained to dream, and too overwhelmed to fight back. This is the bad news. But here is the good news. The architects of liberation have always known this too. Our ancestors in the work of justice have always understood that if exhaustion is the tool of oppression, then strategic sacred rest, it must be a tool of liberation. Here is some more good news. Martin Luther King, he knew Howard Thurman. And Thurman, a theologian and giant of the civil rights movement in his own right, knew in his seemingly infinite wisdom the importance of rest in the work of justice. When Dr. King was hospitalized after a life-threatening incident in 1958, it was Thurman who came to visit him in the hospital. He asked how long King's bed rest was supposed to be, and when King said he was almost ready to leave, Thurman urged him not to go. He wrote later of the event, "I urged King to ask the doctors to extend the period by an additional 2 weeks. Time away from the pressure of the movement, to reassess himself, to rest his body and his mind, and to take a long look, the kind that only solitude can provide." Thurman knew that rest was not a betrayal of the cause, it was essential to it. He knew that the work of justice can flow only from a nourished spirit. And King took this wisdom to heart. He began to build intentional moments of retreat into his schedule, and he would not much later travel to India, the very land that had first used rest as a form of resistance against the British Empire. There, Mahatma Gandhi taught him about the Hartal, a complete stoppage of work, a nation of people pausing, withdrawing from the labor that the empire so depended on. Rest, used strategically here, brought the British machine to a standstill. Which brings us back to Exodus. Because long before Gandhi, long before Thurman and King, there were the Israelites who came before the Pharaoh asking for rest, asking for a time to worship and a time to be together. May we follow their example. May we have the courage to rest. Because their memory is perhaps distant, but the sentiment is not. The systems of injustice that surround us still run on the same fuel, exhaustion. The endless scroll of bad news, the demand to be constantly on, the pressure for productivity, it is the same as that of the ancient script. But we are the heirs of a different story. We are the children of a God whose first message to a tyrant in Egypt was to let God's people rest. We are the spiritual descendants of Moses and Aaron who, in the face of exhaustion, asked for a festival. We follow in a line of faithful activists who halted empires as they paused and were still. So, beloved, your rest, our rest, has never been secondary to the work. Your rest, as Kate said to the youngest among us, is a power move. So perhaps we protect our sleep and honor our Sabbaths and step away for only a moment or for a day, not to abandon the fight for a more just world, but to ensure that we can keep showing up for it, day after day with clarity and compassion. So go. Go and tend to your spirit. For a weary world needs souls that are not only courageous, but also ones that are nourished. Go and rest. Amen.